The scripture reading this morning comes from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Good morning, and I'm happy to be back. Thank so many of you for telling me that you were happy to see me back. I didn't know if that would be the case. I thought, well, maybe they don't want me to come back. But anyway, you seem happy to have me back, and I appreciate that, and we're happy to be back. We brought back essential things like canoes and paddles, and so we're happy to have those things back in our life, even to be able to go up and trim my trees now because I brought back my extension ladder. So we had a good trip. It was fun. We saw a lot of family. It got me thinking about what a household is, you know. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as we grow stronger in Christ and become closer to Him, we may not always be happy about whether our family is willing to serve the Lord or not. You know, there are people sometimes in our families who just won't. And going back to Kansas, you know, reminded me there are a lot of people back there that are in my family that aren't serving the Lord. When I became a Christian, I think I did have a good influence on many of them. They saw a change in me, and I was able to teach and baptize some of them. And a good number have now become members of the body of Christ. But yet there are those that you just wish would, you know, and you keep hoping and praying, and you think about, what is my family? What house do I belong to? I know that as long as the house that I speak of when I say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, if I'm speaking of the church, the body of Christ, then I know that's true. If I'm speaking about me and John, I believe that's true. Although John's just a little guy now, but I have strong hopes that he will be a faithful man. But Joshua had a lot of confidence when he said that, didn't he? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I think Joshua could say that because he knew his house was already serving the Lord. He was successful in what he did. I think about the scriptures that teach us about the qualifications for an elder, that he would be one who had believing children and a believing wife, and he would manage his household well. And I think of Joshua when I think of that sort of a man, that Joshua is an example of one who could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to change this real quick. I talked a lot this morning with the wrong slide up here. We'll fix this real quick. I think. You got a preview of some of the slides you might see tonight. This is what you were supposed to be looking at. Slideshow. From current slide. And then I have to go use slideshow. Isn't that a beautiful tree? That's what you were supposed to be looking at. You know, I don't want to make my lesson too long, but I noticed this morning we had a song about the Garden of Prayer, right? We had words about coming here to remember Jesus, to pray, to commune, to give, to sing, to hear a lesson. All of those things being a part of what we're here for. You know, this is really, and that's why I tried to condense it into this slide as my first slide. We're gathered here to worship, that we may sing, pray, commune, give, hear, encourage and be encouraged, and take steps to be and to stay in fellowship with God. When we're coming here and meeting as a family, as the household of God, we are encouraging each other, and we should be encouraged by each other, and we should become stronger and stronger. And if we have something in our life that is holding us back, you know, like Jesus talks, well, God talks about, the writer of the book of Hebrews talks about, Jesus being the author and perfecter of our faith, and how he endured the cross and despised the shame, and that we should run the race with endurance that is set before us and throw off those things that hinder us, Hebrews chapter 12. And that's part of why we're here today also, I believe, is to try to throw off some of those chains, throw off some of those things that hinder us and make our walk with God not as close as we would like it to be. House is what God builds, and he builds it from us. When we seek him and we find him and we obey him and we remain faithful to him, in Psalm 127, 1 through 2, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved, even in his sleep. In our city, Ridgecrest and China Lake area, we have a lot of people who are guarding the house. Amen. But if our nation isn't built on the Lord and his principles, no amount of guarding can help. You know, we need to be a strong nation based on following God. And we need to, you know, as the president said, walk softly and carry a big stick. Roosevelt wasn't that. One of our Roosevelts. The idea that we need to be strong, but also we need to understand that if God isn't building our nation or our house, it's pointless, because there's always a way around any defense we might make if God is not on our side. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved, even in his sleep. God fights for his house, and the battle belongs to the Lord. Joshua 23:1-3, now it came about after many days when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. See, I have appointed to you these nations, which remain as an inheritance for your tribes, with all the nations which I have cut off from the Jordan, even to the great sea, toward the setting of the sun. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you, and you will possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. God is a giver, and God keeps his promises. He gives promises, he keeps his promises, and his promises are to those who will follow him, the ones he calls his house. But the house must keep their end of the bargain, their end of the covenant, what we are told to keep, to believe, to trust in, and to do. Joshua 23:6-9, he writes, he speaks, and they write, be very firm, then, to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with those nations. These which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations before you, and as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. They came out of Egypt, a previous generation, and this generation went into the promised land with Joshua and Caleb. Moses wasn't even allowed to go. And they went in, and they were only defeated when they didn't listen to God. God was fighting with them and fighting for them on their side whenever they would behave as his household ought to behave. But Joshua stressed the fact that we need to love the Lord. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. I know men who have at least 2 clip-on knives in their belt. They have a gun in their shoe. They have a gun that they can reach at in their back, and they might even have one they can reach with their left hand. It's good that they have those because they're good men and they'll defend others with those. But most of all, we need to trust God. God is the one who fights for us. Joshua warns, don't try to live a compromise. The world's way brings destruction and death. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, if you ever go back, God took you out and he gave you something and he said, displace the bad and be the good. Be the good nation among these nations. He says, for if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now we know that this was a covenant that God had made with a people, Israel, and he wanted them to keep their lineage as it was. He didn't want them to intermarry with people who would drive them away in the way that Ahab and Jezebel were, way away from what God wanted them to be. And it seemed that anyone who married a relative of Jezebel also went way away from God, what God wanted them to be. But don't think of the word marriage here as we think of marriage. Think of the word marriage here as accepting a way of life, accepting a way of thinking, accepting a way of doing that's contrary to the ways of God. If we live in this nation of the United States of America and we begin to marry the ideas that this nation has been vocally espousing, pun intended, then we will be diluted in what we believe. At China Lake, they call it sensitivity training, but it's actually a desensitization. A desensitization to sin. We don't want to espouse what many in our nation are espousing. We don't want to become what they are trying to make our nation become. How much time do any of us have? What if this day was our today? You know, Joshua said, I'm going to go. Bye-bye today. What if this was our today to go all the way of the earth? Could we say that we served our Lord faithfully to the end with our household, if possible? Joshua says, now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. I know that when I come to the end of my life, if I wanted to, I could count up many failures. But I know someone who would never have failed, and that would be God, Jesus, and their Spirit, would never have failed me, even when I fail them. God blesses his house, but only if it remains his house. Joshua 23:15-16, it shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. If we turn away from the principles of our God and from keeping and doing what he has taught us, then we no longer receive the blessings, but only the threats. When God's house has assembled, and I wanted us to think about this. Here Joshua gathered everybody together. It's a little bit like we are today. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers. And what did they do? They presented themselves before God. Today in this worship service, we are here to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are, in fact, presenting ourselves before God. Amen. And we're only able to do that because we're redeemed, as was in the song and what was in the talk at the Lord's Supper. Because we are redeemed, we are able to approach the throne of God. Because we are redeemed, we are able to assemble before Him in His presence. And we need to always recognize the fact that we're not just assembling with one another, we are presenting ourselves and our lives and our worship before God. God's house turns to Him. Joshua 24, 2 through 4, Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Why? They didn't know better. But then God removed their ignorance and enlightened their mind. It says, "Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt," and Jacob's name was changed to Israel, wasn't it? And those are the Israelites. God got them out. He caused water to come back upon the dry land that they had crossed in the middle of the Red Sea. And they were drowned, their horses and their chariots. And men have gone on excavations and have found, and I have seen pictures of, the wheels of the chariots and the skeletons of the horse in that area to this day. Horses and chariots, many of them. Joshua 24, 5 through 7, "Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst, and afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to the Lord, He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness for a long time." Is that true? Well, it's true, but it didn't happen to these people, did it? It happened to their predecessors. And those who came out were unfaithful. And then those who were of a certain age were allowed to go into the promised land. But God speaks to them collectively because they are His house. He's speaking to His house. He's speaking to them and to their of them and their fathers as if it happened to them. Because it, in a sense, did. They wouldn't be there if it weren't for that. Remember that beautiful song, "When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord." God is on our side. God saves His house. That song has helped me get through many hard times. Amen? The battle belongs to the Lord. It really will. If you'll sing that song when you're going through a difficulty, remember in your mind that song. "In heavenly armor we enter the land, the battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand, the battle belongs to the Lord." And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. Glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. Joshua 24, 8 through 10, "Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and summoned Balaam the son of Beor to curse you, but I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand." You remember how impossible it was for Balaam to curse them? He couldn't do it. God didn't allow it. Unfortunately, though, He trained them to follow idols, and that was their downfall. Joshua 24, 11 through 13, "You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. That's a bunch of people, powerful people, strong people, people who had been fighting with each other for years and knew how to make combat. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or your bow. Remember, the battle belongs to the Lord. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. And we in Jesus Christ, in God's house, are in the place of all spiritual blessings which are found in Jesus Christ. Not something that we earned. As it was mentioned, it's not by money we put in the collection plate. It's not by anything we can give or do, but only by the grace of God that we have these blessings. We must choose. We must choose daily. We must choose God and Jesus if we want to be their house. And we must choose, for no one can serve two masters. We have to make a choice between self and God, between world and God, between everything and God, Jesus, and the Spirit. Joshua 24:14-15, our scripture reading today. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Reminds me of what Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, that we must worship God in spirit and truth, for God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4. And put away the gods. Put away those false gods that Balaam provoked and others provoked, Jezebel and others provoked them to serve. Put them away. They're worthless. Put away those things that God had Abram leave beyond the river back in the Ur of Chaldees. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. It is disagreeable. Let me go back. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Choose. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua knows that most of these people are faithful to God, but he's rubbing it in a little bit. He's wanting to put it there as a way of warning, to keep it before them, that look, you have to stay away from putting anything above God, or you cannot succeed. God's house remembers what God has done for it. Joshua 24:16-18, the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And again, the people that are there that day who didn't live through all of those things recount all of those things as if they had, because it's part of their heritage that has been passed down from them from the day that Moses killed an Egyptian who was abusing a Hebrew and buried his body in the sand. All of those things were blessings to them. And they remember those things, and that will keep them faithful if, in fact, they will not forget. House is only God's house if it serves only God. Joshua 24:19-20, then Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you. Warnings. The people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen for yourself the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away the foreign gods which are in your midst and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and we will obey his voice. And with a parallel to us and our lives today, some of these people still had foreign gods in their midst. Amen? And some of us as Christians still have things in our lives that we need to walk away from. We need to burn in the street. That we need to turn away from and not ever go back to. And we need to continually work on ourselves by examining ourselves and repenting of our flaws and our misconducts and our bad thoughts and serve the Lord. Because it's so easy for some of that debris to stay in your presence when you really need to boot it out. God's house has covenant. They had a covenant through Moses and what Moses had brought them and taught them. Our covenant is through Jesus the Christ, the Son of the everlasting God. Joshua 24, 25 through 27. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. He said, you people are witnesses against yourselves. And we said, we are witnesses. And they set up a stone and they put it there to remind them of the fact that they were witnesses, that they had promised to serve the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, so that you do not deny your God. Well, that was a dead stone, which was there simply as a reminder. But then God in Jesus Christ has made us living stones in a household that belongs to him. And so he is the stone that was cut out without hands, the everlasting stone that crushes every other kingdom. And we are a part of that household. And we don't need some physical stone. And we need to be careful about getting hung up on nostalgia even in the church. And beware that we're not just a people of man tradition, but a people who are of God. A people who are living stones. And living things sometimes have to change in order to comply to what God wants them to do and to be. God's house serves God. And he tells them, now go, live in the presence of God. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. It came about after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim on the north of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done for Israel. They were a good house, a strong house, as long as they remembered to serve the Lord. They had that stone to remind them. But we have a stone that we build on. And that stone is Jesus the Christ. He is the cornerstone from which we must align our foundation. And our foundation, the apostles and prophets of the first century, Ephesians chapter 2. And we must build upon that which God has established. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, says Jesus, and acts on them, says Jesus, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, says Jesus. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Now, good thing we're talking about spiritual rocks and not rocks under Searles Valley, amen? Because we're talking about something that cannot be shaken, according to the book of Hebrews in chapter 13. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. because it was a house that was not founded upon Christ, God, or the Spirit. Building your life on Jesus is the same thing as being a disciple, including being baptized and continuing to follow Him until He returns to take you forever home. Everybody's reaching for their songbook because I said that word baptized. I should have said immersed. Anyway, Matthew 28:18-20. I'm joking. Nobody. I didn't see anybody reach for their songbook. I just saw a shift. Anyway, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Building our life on Jesus, building our life on the rock, where our foundation can never fail, is discipleship. It's discipleship that leads us to being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and discipleship that continues to cause us to want to learn and grow and follow and produce in Jesus. Joshua's house was faithful and inspired faith in others. It was a household of faith. We in Jesus are also a household of faith. The New Testament writers have been translated as using that term. Galatians 3:26-27, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized, immersed into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ." Galatians 6:10, "So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." In Galatians chapter 3, it shows you how to become a member of the household. And in Galatians chapter 6, it's telling you to produce good things in the household of the faith. Just as Joshua warned, instructed, and encouraged the Israelites, the rest of what Paul had to say in Galatians 6, or some of the rest of it, verses 7 through 10, he says, Do not be deceived, Mr. Christian. Do not be deceived, Miss Christian. Mrs. Christian. Do not be deceived, Christian. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. You see, it is a battle. And Paul had described that battle between the flesh and the Spirit in chapter 5. And he says, don't grow weary in this battle. And we all know the battle belongs to the Lord, amen? Can I hear you? The battle belongs to the Lord. Okay. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are God's house just as much and maybe even more than those in the days of Joshua. We are Bible people. We are Acts chapter 29, amen? And on we go. House is us. Ephesians 2:17-22. "And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father." The Jews, the Gentiles, everybody. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household." You didn't have to be of those who crossed the Red Sea. They call them the Red Sea pedestrians. You heard of that? You know, we don't have to be of their lineage, because God has made a household out of anybody and everybody who will follow Jesus Christ. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." Now that was past tense in the first century, amen? That foundation isn't changing. That teaching isn't changing. But we have to change to conform to it. "In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." For us, house is God's household. He makes the rules and gives the grace and mercy. We obey and uphold his true teaching because we are his house. 1 Timothy 3:14 through 15. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Our work is not done when we're baptized into Christ. We are here to be a part of a house that is a pillar and support of the truth. We are here to live among a people who don't know God and don't want to follow his teachings. We are here to live among a people and not espouse their beliefs and ideas and plans and projects. We are here to live among a people who will obey God and teach others God's way. For us, house is a spiritual place in which we are the living stones. And if I had time, I'd read all of this, but anyway, coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I know you missed me and I wanted you to miss me, but I know if I make you miss lunch, maybe you won't miss me again so much. Anyway, but trouble exists. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. All of those beautiful old songs that remind us of all of those things. We are here as living stones, representatives of God in his household, supporting and holding up the truth. And the house, those are the people who obey God, the gospel, and the people who trust in God. For 1 Peter 4:17 through 19, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? The gospel of God is a simple thing, but it's a simple thing that we are to obey. It's not just something that we know, so we can say, oh, I know the gospel. No, we must know it and obey it if we want to be a part of God's house. And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. I look at our nation and the problems that are facing our nation, and I wonder what direction we're going to go in the next 40 years. I really do. We may be facing suffering in abundance just to be a Christian. Are you going to be strong enough? Are you going to be faithful enough to make it through whatever this world pours upon you? And that's the question. And that's a question God wants you to think about and to answer positively. Yes, no matter what man does to me, I will live for God and God will not forsake me. That's the attitude that we need to have. By God's grace and mercy, by covenant in the blood of Jesus, we are his house. As their house, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we receive their blessings. We uphold their truth. We glorify them by our life, and we may glorify them by our death. But our life belongs to them. And the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. If there's any way we can help you this morning to draw closer to God, to have a stronger walk in him, we offer you the opportunity as we stand and as we sing.